Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, it's Dr. Dave. They also call me Mr. Vegan, and welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. It's the show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Sometimes, sometimes a lot more than that. But today we're just going to probably stick to stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. No, I'm just kidding. I press record and I just go. And I know what I'm going to talk about today. And by the way, it's going to be a great show. You're in for a really cool ride. It's going to be awesome. So I want to start off by saying hello. How you doing? If you are a new listener to me, I really appreciate you joining in. We've been doing this David Matto Lifestyle Show for about 3 years now. And I always welcome new listeners. And if you happen to be a regular listener, somebody that's been with me for quite some time, like I think you may be, I really, really appreciate you. And I started something fairly new, which I want you to jump on. It's actually really important. I've got a VIP list now. VIP, what do I call it? I call it just kind of like a VIP mailing list. And what that means is, every so often, I don't do it a lot, so you're not going to get spammed. You're not going to get, your inbox is not going to be full with stuff from me. But every once in a while, if I get the urge, if I've got something really cool to shout out to you, or an idea, something I just discovered, maybe an event I'm going to be leading, or something like that, whatever it may be, I'm going to shoot it out to my VIP list. And how do you get onto the list? It's really simple. Go to davidmatto.com, davidmado.com. On the right-hand side, there should be a column on the homepage. It says, join my VIP list. Or this might not be the exact words, but you'll see it. It'll be so close to that, you're not going to miss it. Join my VIP list, something, whatever. And just click on that. Type your email address in and click sign up. Click sign me up, and wham, it takes about 5 seconds. And actually, it could be the most important 5 seconds of your life, because I'll tell you why. There are going to be certain things that I share with my VIP list that I will not talk about on my podcast. I will not Periscope about. There'll be things that are just kind of private and higher level that I just don't want to mention on the air or something like that. So if you're on my VIP list, you will be privy to everything I've got. So sign up now. Again, it'll take you 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Go to davidmatto.com. It's davidmado.com. And on the right-hand side, join my VIP list. Or close enough, whatever it is. I don't have my computer open in front of me, so it might not be exactly that. But you get it. You totally get it. Now, I want to share something with you. This is really, really weird, as I am. But this past weekend, I spent a lovely weekend with my two brothers. Those of you that don't know me really well, there are three boys in my family. My parents had three sons only, no daughters, three sons only. I'm the oldest. Then the middle brother is Marshall. Then the youngest is Richard. And many of you know that I'm actually in business with my brother Rich. We call ourselves the Matto Brothers. And we do a lot of speaking and not really consulting these days, but kind of motivation. And we got some products to help dentists and their team members in their practices and make them more successful, happier. That's one of the things I do. So once a year, the three of us try to have a brother's weekend. Lately, it's been in New York. We just take a quick drive up to New York, which is about three and a half hours away from where we meet up, where we live. And we spend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday generally in Manhattan doing some cool things, seeing a concert, seeing some music, seeing some comedy, things like that. And then we head back. So me being the only vegan, my brothers are not vegan. And some of you have asked me why I say vegan. Why am I Mr. Vegan? You know, it's funny. It all started. See, I will tell you the origin of Mr. Vegan. It all started a couple years ago when I was, I think I was in an Indian restaurant trying to explain to the owner or the manager that I want to make sure I get a dish that has no dairy or no meat, or I don't eat anything that came from an animal. And I was trying to explain vegan. And he kept saying, oh, so you're vegan. And I said, okay, yeah, that's, I'm vegan. So we had this conversation back and forth about me being vegan. So that's kind of the origin. I really liked the sound of it, so I kind of ran with it. But I'm vegan. I'm a vegan. So being a vegan, you know, people, they try to get little jabs in at you every once in a while. Like for example, and we're walking through Manhattan for 3 days, and Rich generally doesn't do it, but my brother Marshall generally will make little comments, like as we pass a store that, or a restaurant that clearly is serving meat, or they're cooking meat out, or the smell of meat is permeating, or something like that. He's Dave. Hey, you want to go in there and have something to eat? And it's like these stupid little jabs, and you know I'm used to it, and I don't really care, and I usually just brush it off and make it, you know, say no, I'm not. You know, or I make some comment. I don't know what I say exactly, but you kind of get it. It's as a vegan, we take some abuse, and I think I'm going to actually stop taking the abuse, because I think it's, first of all, I don't think it's funny, because if it were only my choice not to eat certain foods for like no reason, maybe I'd understand it, but I'm doing this, one of the biggest reasons is because I love animals so much, and I do not want to see them harmed in any way. And if I could just do my part and not eat any animal products, then I feel that I'm not responsible, at least on my end, I'm not responsible for the suffering and the slaughter and just the horrific things that go on in that industry. And so when somebody makes fun of me, even like a little stupid jab, you know, I've heard all the jokes, trust me, I've heard them all, but it just, to me, it doesn't really sit right, just because what I get out of that is they really don't care about the animals, and they're making fun. But anyway, so you know, I'm putting up with a lot of these little comments all weekend, and I don't really say anything. I just kind of go with it. You know, he's my brother. I love him to death. I'm actually really blessed to have two wonderful brothers that we get along so well. And you know, we're all different in certain ways, but we're the same in ways as well. So it's just really, really cool to spend time with, you know, your siblings. You know, you've got the same pretty much genetic material, and you came from the same house. It's really, really cool to do that. But here's what happened. So after like a weekend of hearing these little crazy comments like, hey, I'm going to get a cheeseburger day or something like that. And, you know, I try to put up with that BS. But we're driving home, and I'm driving. And we're driving from New York into New Jersey. And all of a sudden, Marshall's sitting in the front seat with me. And he like puts his hands over his eyes. And like, I can't see that. I don't want to look at that. And I'm saying, like, Marshall, what's wrong? What's going on? He says, I can't look. Oh my God, it's horrible. I can't look. And finally, he told me what he was talking about. He was referring to a dead animal on the side of the road. There was an animal that was killed, and I looked over, and it was like a it wasn't a deer. It was like not like a large animal. It wasn't even a dog. It looked like something along the orders of a I don't know, maybe like a large raccoon, or maybe a little bit larger, something like that, something in that along that line. And yeah, it was a dead animal just kind of laying there, which of course nobody ever wants to see. But I found it really strange that my brother Marshall got so disturbed looking at a roadkill, like an animal that was killed on the side of the road, so disturbed, but the same person is eating meat every day, or practically every day, has no problem eating meat or animal products. I found that a little bit puzzling, disturbing, whatever word you might use, because, and again, you know, when I first went vegan, I wanted to convert the world. I thought everybody needs to be vegan, and right now, on my time, not yours. But I learned that doesn't really work, and when you start talking to people that are not ready, they don't get the message, they don't understand the message, and so I kind of backed off, and I really don't do that anymore. I mean, I lead by example, as you know, and I do it. I'm very, very strict about my eating. I do not make exceptions knowingly, and I feel really good about what I'm doing. But here is my brother, who basically is not vegan, has no problem eating meat. I've talked to him in the past about animal suffering, and he doesn't really want to hear it and doesn't want to change. But when he sees an animal on the side of the road, he is like freaking out. And I just wonder, again, I didn't go into any details on the ride, but I wonder if he even knows, if he understands that when you're eating an animal, when you're eating a cow, you know, a hamburger or a piece of bacon or something like that from a pig, I just wonder if he fully understands the horror, the suffering that those animals went through in order to get on his plate. And I know, I get it, that when you're not doing the killing, when you're not involved in raising them in the you know, the factory farms or wherever they may be, you're not seeing it. And the only thing you're really seeing is the final product on your plate. Or maybe you're seeing the final product wrapped up in cellophane at the grocery store or in the deli department or at the butcher or wherever. You're seeing that. And you're not really seeing the whole picture. You're not seeing what it took to get that final product on your plate. But I just wonder, after having seen him like flip out at a dead animal on the side of the road, I mean, does he know when he's eating a hamburger that that cow going on the truck to the slaughterhouse, oftentimes hundreds of miles in horrible conditions, whether it's really hot outside or really cold and freezing. And sometimes I've actually seen this from people that have done transporting. They say that sometimes the conditions are so bad and it's so cold out, when they get to the slaughterhouse, many of the cows, if they're transporting cows, or pigs, if it's a pig transport vehicle, are actually frozen to the metal framework of the truck. You know, so in other words, it's kind of, another, you kind of understand, like if you touch something that, if it's really cold out, let's say you touch your tongue to a piece of metal, it'll stick to that and you can't take it, it's frozen to it. And it's common to see that happen to actually these live animals that are like literally frozen to the metal frame of the truck. And in the heat, animals faint, they get heat stroke, they 10% of them cannot even walk off the truck. They're so weak or dead, they can't walk off the truck. So oftentimes they're beaten or chained up to get off the truck, and they're hit hard to make them get off the truck. It's really, really horrible. And then, oh my God, they get into the slaughterhouse and they're lined up and they're going through. And the first thing they do is get stunned by this. The cows get like this big bolt through the head to stun them, to render them, I guess, unconscious before their throats are slit. But sometimes it doesn't work. So then they're cut up live. Yeah, this stuff is true, people. Let me tell you, it's true. You can do your research. Check with people that used to work at slaughterhouses. It's actually horrific. It's horrible. I don't even like talking about this on my show because I like to talk about like peaceful things and things that are going to really improve your life and not things that give you nightmares. But this is true stuff that's happening every single day. Oh, by the way, to the tune of 80 billion land animals per year. Now, that's not even taking into consideration the marine animals, because they're not even counted in terms of animals. They're counted in terms of tons. But just the land animals alone, you know, the pigs, the cows, the chickens, the lamb, the goat, whatever it may be, 80 billion per year. Write that number out on a piece of paper. You probably can't even write the number. Do you know how many zeros are in that? It's 80 billion is 8. That's 80. Make sure I get this right. It's 80,000 million. So it's 80,000,000,000,000,000. That's how many land animals are killed every single year. Roughly 80 billion. And my brother is sick to his stomach by one animal on the side of the road that was killed by a car. Apparently killed by a car. One. But he's eating cheeseburgers and bacon and steak and chicken and milk and eggs and you name it. Whatever. You get the picture. I didn't understand. It was really strange to me. And so if you are thinking about the suffering, I'd like you to think about it more. I'm not telling you what you have to do, and like I said, I lead by example. I'm not saying you've got to do this or else. No, I don't say that, but I was a little bit taken aback by somebody that was throwing these jabs at me all weekend long. Oh, Dave, you can't eat this, or Dave, let's get a burger, let's get a steak, come on Dave, come on, you can get your bacon, come on. From jabs like that to seeing a dead animal on the side of the road and not even be able to, like, almost throwing up. God, I'd like to take him to a slaughterhouse. I'd like to take him to a slaughterhouse or to a farm where these animals are actually raised. And I bet he'd stop eating animals. I bet he'd stop. Or else he would just say, you know, I can't control it. You know, this is happening every day. I can't control it. It's horrible, but I'm going to continue eating meat. I think that's what a lot of people say. I can't, even if I stopped eating meat, nothing's going to change, so I can't control it, so I'm going to just enjoy my meat, and I'm not going to care. I'm just not going to listen. I think that's what the average person thinks. I can't do anything about this. It's been going on for centuries. It's been going on for thousands of years. I can't do anything about it, so I'm just going to continue eating my cheeseburger. I think that's probably what they think. I don't know. I when I found out the truth, I just said to myself, and Yoko said, you know, my wife Yoko, we just looked at each other and said, we're done. We're finished. We're not eating this stuff anymore. We're not going to contribute to this incredibly horrible animal agriculture. We it's going on, but we're no longer going to contribute. And not only that, we're going to start teaching other people. And if enough people listen, I don't know, we're not going to change the world by tomorrow, but once we reach this critical mass, which means like a number, even though it's a small number still, but it's a critical mass, and then once you hit the critical mass might be 10%. Right now, I believe 3% of the U.S. population is vegan. I believe that's the number, 3%, or it might be vegan or vegetarian, I'm not sure, but 3%. But once we hit a critical mass of, say, about 10%, which I don't think is all that far off, to be honest with you, because I've seen so many changes in the past several years. I think we're hitting that. So once we hit that critical mass of 10%, that's when others start to really, really notice in a big way. And then it's like the domino effect. So the critical mass is probably about 10%. And then things really, really start changing quickly. So, yeah, I mean, I could say, it's very easy for me to say, oh, there's nothing I can do. It's just the way it's always been. That's what my dad says. It's the way it's always been, Dave, and there's nothing we can do about it. And I'm going to pass the steak. That's what he says, pretty much. I'm not like that. Maybe call me weird. Call me different. Call me, I don't know, what's the word? Think of your words. Fill in the blank. I may be. But all I know is I love animals too much to be involved. If I had an animal on my plate, I could not eat it. I could not stand to look at it. I would just be looking at the suffering. It would be the suffering going into my body, into my cells. I can no longer do it. Knowing the truth, I just can't do it. I can't do it anymore. So that's my feeling. That was my weird story from the weekend and my traveling home. Is it going to change anybody? I don't know. It's one of Dave's stories, the David Matto lifestyle. Dave has a lot of things that happen to him every day, and some of them turn into stories, and some of them we can learn from. Maybe others we can't. I don't know. I try my best to help people, and I think I'm doing a pretty darn good job of it. My podcast, the David Matto Lifestyle Show, has been getting more downloads than ever. We got people all over the world listening to it, so we're making a difference. There's no question. So I hope you're with me. I know you're with me because you're listening. You're listening to me. You like this stuff. And now you're going to be on my VIP list. Remember how to do it. Remember how to get onto my VIP list. Just go to my website, davidmatto.com, and just join up. Join this amazing movement. Now, even if you're not a vegan, as I say, even if you're not vegan, you can still join. You don't have to be. Many of my friends are not vegan. They ain't no vegans. Yeah, that's exactly right. They're not vegan. But I still want to be connected, and that's the best way to stay in the closest touch possible. DavidMatto.com. Join the VIP list. Let me think if there's anything else I want to touch base with you about today, because we're pretty much out of time, but I got another minute if there's something else important. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Okay, one more thing real quick, and I'm going to probably talk about this a little bit to my VIP people on my list, is I'm coming up with a date for that retreat in the spring of 2017. It's going to be my home. We're going to spend a weekend together. It's going to be, let me just tell you something, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We're going to spend a weekend in my home, and we're going to be teaching. When I say we, Yoko, me, probably Sandy's going to be there. Some other really good people I'm connected with. We're going to be teaching you how to live the lifestyle, how to be happy, stronger, just feel better about yourself, more confident, happy every day, almost every day. I mean, we're human beings. We go through times of weirdness, and we're not always happy every second, but fundamentally, I'm really happy. Now, do I have crazy days? Yeah. Crazy days where I feel like business is not so easy. Of course. Crazy days where somebody gives me a hard time. Yeah, but I'm happy. And I want to teach you how to live this lifestyle. Just looking and feeling so good about yourself. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced, I promise. So you'll find out more about that. You got to sign up for the VIP list, though. DavidMatta.com. And having said that, I think I'm done. I think that's it. When I finish, I finish. Whether it's a minute or two early or a minute or two late. When I'm done, I'm done. And I think that's it. So you know something? I thank you so much for being with me today. I will see you next time for sure. I'm Dr. Dave.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.